Bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, again, we thank you for this day. Thank you, Lord, for watching over us and bringing us out. Help us, O God, to have our hearts and minds open and receptive as we look at your word. In Jesus' name, amen. The scripture text for today is found in Matthew chapter 24, beginning at verse 15. Let us stand at the reading of God's holy word. Matthew 24, beginning at verse 15. Therefore, when you see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet standing in the holy place, whoever reads, let him understand. Then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. Let him who is on the housetop not go down to take anything out of his house. And let him who is in the field not go back to get his clothes. But woe to those who are pregnant and to those who are nursing babies in those days. And pray that your flight may not be in winter or on the Sabbath. For then there will be great tribulation, such as has not been since the beginning of the world until this time, no, nor ever shall be. And unless those days were shortened, no flesh would be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days will be shortened. Then if anyone says to you, look, here is the Christ, or there, do not believe it. For false Christs and false prophets will rise and show great signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, even the elect. See, I have told you beforehand. Therefore, if they say to you, look, he is in the desert, do not go out. Or look, he is in the inner rooms, do not believe it. For as the lightning comes from the east and flashes to the west, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. For wherever the carcass is, there the eagles will be gathered together. These were thy words, Heavenly Father. Sanctify us in the truth. Thy word is eternally true. Amen. You may be seated. We see Jesus speaking here, and we have to actually go back to the beginning of the chapter and even into chapter 14 when the disciples came to Jesus and they says, can you tell us when these things are going to happen and what the coming of the end of the age will be? Can you tell us a little bit so we know what to look forward to when you return in your glory and your honor? Can you tell us some of these things? So Jesus, from the beginning in the chapter at verse 3, we see that Jesus was sitting on the Mount of Olives when his disciples come to him. And they were looking not at the present time, but at the future, that Christ would be crucified, he would be put in the grave, he would rise again. And they knew all this, and they accepted this. And yet, they says, well, what will be the sign of your coming when all things will end and you will put down sin and you will put down death, you will put down all of everything that's against God? And so this is where we see the great tribulation coming in, on starting at verse 15. So we see in 70, first, you know, Jesus talks about the temple being destroyed. In 70 AD, General Titus from the Roman army came and he sieged Jerusalem, and he went up and he destroyed it, and he broke down some of the wall, and he went in and he destroyed the temple stone by stone, and not one stone was left on the other. He wanted to make sure they were not hiding any gold or precious metals that the Roman government could use. Plus, he was angry at them for having starting a revolt. In that revolt in 70 AD, there was around 8,500 people killed in the city of Jerusalem at that time. And so a lot of people would say, this was the great tribulation. We have seen many of these types of tribulations throughout the world. We have seen them come and go. Yet that is not the tribulation that Christ is talking about at the end of time. We look too that as we see the desolation coming at the altar, we see that a new temple will be built in Jerusalem, and they're already making plans for it. They have all the instruments, they have the robes that the priests will wear, and they have everything except the temple itself. They have even trained many of the Levite people that they felt are Levites to be their ministers. So they're ready to go, and they are waiting to get this temple built. They have already been approached to build it if they would give up the Temple Mount. They have thought about it, and they says, no, we can't do that. Now we find the UN taking and saying the Temple Mount belongs to the PLO. And so we see another wrinkle coming, if you want to call it that. Yet, I believe there will be a short skirmish of war, and a peace pact will be signed, and this will be the beginning of the tribulation period, or the 7 years of tribulation, which Revelation talks about. So then God, or Jesus, tells, he says, those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. If you've been in Israel, you'll find if you go south of Jerusalem, which is Judean country, it's quite hilly and quite a lot of caves and mountains. And Jesus is telling these people, when you see the desolation coming in the temple, you'll not only hear about it, you will know it. Flee to the mountains. And the reason for it is this: Satan has been cast out of heaven. And Satan has come down to earth very angry, and because he cannot go into heaven and accuse you and me before God, telling God that he shouldn't save us, even though we believe in Christ, that we are sinners, and he wants us in his hell. Then God says there's a war in heaven, in the place where Satan and his angels will not be allowed in heaven anymore. They will be cast out of heaven for good. They will be coming to earth, and they will have great anger and wrath upon them when they come. At that desolation that we are talking about, we will see that the Antichrist sets himself up as God in the temple of God in Jerusalem. And he tells the people then of Judea, flee to the mountains. Don't worry about anything else, but make sure you flee and get out of there. And he who is on the housetop, do not go down into the house and take anything out. You know, back then in Jesus' day, they had, what would you call it, sun porches on top of their houses, where we have patios here in the United States, and backyards and some of these things. And it would be like Jesus telling us, don't go out of your backyard into the house to get anything out, but flee for your life. Because when Satan comes, the armies that he comes with him will be satanic, and they will want to destroy anybody that has Christ in their heart or life, or living the Christian life. And he wants to do away with everything that pertains to God. And in Israel, the Jews are the chosen people of God, and God says, I will protect a remnant, and they will not be killed. He tells us that in Isaiah. And he says, there'll be a remnant that will not be killed, and I will see to it that a remnant of the people of Israel will live, so that I can show my glory and my honor. Then he says to them, he says, those that are in the field, and Do not go back and take your cloak or your coat, but flee to the mountains and hide in the caves, because this is all that's going to save you. And so he's talking to the people of Israel here himself, and he's even talking to us. Where is our mountain, and what will we have to flee from if we find that the armies of the United States even decided to come upon us, and because we claim Christ as our personal Lord and Savior, they would say, we're going to kill you for that particular reason and that reason alone. We would find that we have to flee for our lives, and this can happen very easily even here in the United States. So we find that it's not only in Judea, but Christ is giving all of us a warning. Remember, he says, I have come, sent by God, to die on Calvary's cross. Remember, he says, also that God has given me all authority and all power in heaven and on earth to fulfill his will, and I will accomplish his will in all things, and I will put Satan under my feet, and I will turn the kingdom back over to God, and God the Father then will send down the new heaven and the new earth, and we will see things change. And he says, and woe to those who are pregnant and those nursing with babies. We find and we know that a person that's pregnant cannot move and is not as mobile as someone that isn't. And so they're going to have a harder time escaping some of the torment that's coming upon the face of the earth. And those that are with nursing babies, it says, is the same way there. Woe to them, and be careful. Pray for them and keep them in our hearts and our minds, that God would have a mercy on them. And that when this comes, God would have mercy on those that are fleeing for their lives because they have Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. So then he says, pray that your flight is not in the winter or on the Sabbath. We find even back in those days and even today, there are Jews who are very staunch in keeping the Sabbath journey, which is just maybe eighth of a mile to half a mile long. And I know a man in Minneapolis. He turned, him and his wife turned to Judaism, and they are Jews in the sense that they turned to Judaism. But because they were not born Jews, he goes around to the Jewish people in Minneapolis that are in Judaism, and he turns on their stoves on Saturday. Their Sabbath is Saturday. He turns on their stoves so they can make meals. Because to them, if they turn on the stove themselves, they're working. And that is illegal to work on the Sabbath day. They're to remember it and keep it holy. So he comes to these different places and he turns on the stove, and they make their meal, and he says, okay, I'll be back in 3 hours or whatever it is, and I'll shut your stove off again so that you don't waste a lot of electricity or natural gas, whatever they're using. So he can do that because he is not Jewish by birth, but he is Jewish because he changed to Judaism. And so we find this way in which they get around some of the things that they do. And then we find, too, it says that there will be great tribulation, such as has not been since the beginning of the world, even until this time. And unless those days were shortened, even the very elect could be destroyed. We find in the tribulation period that the days will be shortened by one-third. The nights will be shortened by one-third, and the sun will not give its light for one-third of the day. So your darkness will be longer over the land, and those days in that sense are shortened. Plus, God is only allowing this to happen the Great Tribulation will last about 3.5 years. And as we look at that, we can find some of the things that's going to happen during this Great Tribulation period. It's not very pleasant to the eyes. It is not very pleasant to look at and to read about. But I would like to go into Revelation chapter 6 and just to give you an idea of some of the things that's going on. And a fourth seal was opened. Now this is the first half of the tribulation period. And it says, when he opened the fourth seal, I heard a voice of the fourth living creature saying, come and see. And so I looked, and behold, a pale horse, and a name on him that sat on it was Death, and Hades, or the grave, followed after him. And power was given to them over 1/4 of the earth to kill with the sword, with hunger, with death, and by the beasts of the earth. Think of that, 1/4 of the people. Roseau has a population of about 2,700 people. So if you were gonna have 1/4 of those killed, you would have around 700 people killed in Roseau area, or in the Roseau town. Can you imagine the devastation that would happen? And if you, looking at the world population of around 8 billion people, 2 billion of them will be killed at that time. Then as we go on, and we find that in the Great Tribulation period is when God pours out his judgment upon the world. But even before that, we find that in chapter 9, in verse 17 and 18, it says, and thus I saw the horses of the vision, and this is the sixth trumpet, which is the second phase of the tribulation period. And I saw the horses in this vision, and those who sat on them had breastplates of fiery red, hyacinth blue, and sulfur yellow. And the heads of the horses were like heads of lions, and out of their mouth came fire, smoke, and brimstone. Doesn't that sound like a nuclear warhead coming out through the jets and other nuclear weapons we have? And by these three plagues, a third of mankind was killed by the fire, the smoke, and the brimstone, which came out of their mouth. And they had power in their mouth and in their tails, for their tails were like serpents having heads, and with them they do harm. So then if you took another third off of six, you had 8 billion people to start with, and a fourth killed, that's 2 billion, and now you have a third of that, that's another 2 billion. Within this short period of time, you would have half of the world's population killed, and then they will be buried over a long period of months, because there will be so many there. So we can see the tribulation of what's going to happen, and we have not even touched where God pours his wrath out upon the people. But when the Antichrist comes and he sets up himself, he'll stop the sacrifices in the temple, and he'll say, I am God, I am the one that you worship, because he'll have been kicked out of heaven, and it says he comes to earth. It says, woe to the inhabitants of the earth, for Satan is coming down in his wrath and in his anger, because he cannot come into heaven and accuse us anymore before the living God. And we will know that we can have salvation as we have put our trust and hope in Jesus Christ. We know God sent Christ into the world as his only begotten Son. We know Jesus died on the cross for us. We know he was put in the grave, and he arose and ascended into heaven and is making intercession for us even today. And we find that as we trust in him, that because of the world situation going on even around us today, as a Christian standing up and taking our cross and denying ourselves and following Christ, we find many times it's getting harder and harder. Even many times our own loved ones or those around us may take and call us out on different names or wanting to know why we do certain things, because the Spirit of God is moving us. Yet it is the same Spirit of God that has taken us dead in sin and raised us up into living creatures and new creatures in Jesus Christ. It is then that we find that we live for Christ. And Christ says, also he says, if they tell you, go out into the desert and Christ is out there, do not go. And we find that so very, very plainly too, that in some of these things that John tells us in the gospel, in the epistle of John, to try the spirits and see if they are of God. Do they admit and do they tell you that Christ has come in the flesh, that all power has been given to Christ in heaven and on earth, and all that power is given to him? It's in the name of Jesus and Jesus alone where we have this power. It's in the name of Christ. We can talk about God to many people and they will talk, but you tell them about Jesus Christ and what he did on the cross of Calvary, and many of them will not want to talk about it. They'll want to put away and talk about something else. If we were to look in 2 Timothy in chapter 3, we find this. But know this, that in the last days, perilous times will come. Men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brute despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power of Jesus Christ in their lives. And we can see that even in the United States today, don't we? We just had an election, and normally it may or may not be how we would like it, yet we find many people out there protesting, saying, I don't like it. I want it my way. Where they would rather have anarchy and dictatorship rather than going to God and saying, Lord, help us to live with the situation and to proclaim your holy name throughout the world. Lord, you have given us a chance in to prove ourselves. You've given us a chance to come to you, and we come to you asking you to forgive this nation of its many sins, asking you to move the leaders of our land in such a way that they would call upon you before they make major decisions, so that they would glorify you, Lord, and not themselves, but that that way they would keep the country in peace and entranced in such a way that people would see Christ in the United States as well as in us individually. Then if we would go into chapter 4 of the same chapter, we find it says, preach the word, be ready in season, out of season, convince, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. But be watchful for these things. We are told and we are warned. And even in our scripture, Jesus says, if they say, lo, there is Christ, don't go out and look for him, because Jesus is not out there. God has given us the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit convicts us. The Holy Spirit leads us and keeps us. The Holy Spirit will help us as we trust in Jesus and we give our hearts and lives to him. We find that the Holy Spirit will live in us. And even though we find many times we're in seems to have major problems in our own lives, that God is there, and as we trust in Him and give Him thanks for all things that we will find, He will help us, and He will give us the words or the discernment we need to live for Him day by day. We find that we can turn to Him and call upon Him. He will answer us. And as we trust upon Him and trust Him in all things, we find that Christ will bless us and keep us, and the Holy Spirit will live within us, guiding us throughout our days and our weeks and our years here on earth. That when He calls us out, we will be ready to go, and we will say, "Praise the Lord. I love you, Lord Jesus. Take me home to live in your paradise, that where you are, I may be also." Heavenly Father, I pray that you will keep us in your care. Help us, O God, to live for you day by day. Help us, O Lord, to realize that when this time comes, if we are still here and you haven't called us out, that, Lord, we will be to serve you, to stand up for you, regardless of the cost to ourselves, because we want your glory seen amongst all people. In Jesus' name, amen. Let us turn to 404.